Well, here we are at the first Sunday in Lent, and we can already notice the changes in our service. In Lent, we open with the penitential order, which puts the confession first instead of its usual spot before the peace. And we omit the word Alleluia from our liturgy. I have written a big N-O on a yellow post-it note and put it in my prayer book to keep reminding myself not to say it, especially when giving the dismissal at the end of the service. And it all began a few days ago on Ash Wednesday when we were invited into observance of a holy Lent by self-examination and repentance. Some people choose to add something to their daily routine, like extra prayer or reading of scripture or attending a Lenten study, while others may do some sort of fasting, perhaps giving up a favorite food like chocolate or donuts or whatever. And I just read about another suggestion that so resonated with me personally: giving up a bad habit. I'm going to try during this Lenten season to stop projecting worst-case scenarios into the future, for which I have a real talent. If I can keep up this practice for 40 days, who knows, it might become a way of life. And as we read in today's gospel, Jesus, after being baptized, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights and was famished. And it's at that time that he encounters the devil. Other than during the examination of the candidates for holy baptism, you may have noticed that we as Episcopalians don't talk a whole lot about the devil. Perhaps it makes us uncomfortable. Perhaps it's a concept we're not familiar with. Comedian Flip Wilson, who had a variety show on television in the early 1970s, had a humorous way of addressing the concept of the devil. But I know there are many of you who were not even born at that time and are too young to know who Flip Wilson was. One of his personas was Geraldine Jones, a sassy, liberated African-American woman who was flirty and opinionated, but always remained faithful to her boyfriend, Killer. But whenever Geraldine annoyed Killer, which was quite often, she would saucily declare, "The devil made me do it," which became kind of a catchphrase at the time. It seems that the character of Geraldine just couldn't pass up a good temptation. So whether or not you believe in a literal devil, we are all subject to temptations that draw us away from God. When the devil suggests that Jesus turn stones into bread to relieve his hunger, this temptation tale recalls another time in the wilderness, that of the Israelites with Moses after they were led out of Egypt. They survived an astonishing escape from slavery, but then wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. They grew hungry, and God provided manna. They couldn't store it, though, and had to gather it every day. And that was a tough lesson for the Israelites to learn: dependence on God, belief that God would provide their daily manna. They had escaped slavery and sometimes were tempted to think that they did this on their own, that they could just do fine on their own. But the manna was a daily reminder that they, as well as all of us, are dependent on God. And that is pointed out to us by Jesus, who, despite being famished, doesn't fall for the devil's ploy and quote scripture. One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So then the devil tries again. He tempts Jesus to force God to rescue him. He puts him on a pinnacle of the temple and says, once again, prefacing with, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down." And since Jesus just quoted scripture to him, now the devil quotes scripture right back to Jesus, saying, "He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." The devil mockingly suggests that surely God would not let God's own precious son be harmed if he jumps off the temple. Jesus refuses this abuse of scripture and says, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." Finally, the devil stops the "if you are the Son of God" business and just lays his cards on the table. "Worship me instead, and you will have all the kingdoms of the world." The devil knows that power is so seductive and thinks that people would have expected this kind of power from a Messiah. After all, Jesus lived in an occupied country. Surely the Messiah would overthrow the government. Surely he would be a great military leader or king, not a wandering teacher and healer. But again, Jesus refuses to worship the devil, to worship power, and at last the devil departs, and angels minister to Jesus. These temptations go to Jesus' very identity as the Son of God. He could have done it on his own, made his own food. He could have thrown all the responsibility to God, hurling himself off buildings, showing off. He could have been a strong and feared leader of all the kingdoms. Instead, Jesus focuses on God and others. He heals others. He teaches others. He is never settled and comfortable. The time in the wilderness, the temptations from the devil, help Jesus clarify and define who he really was. Lent for us is a time of stripping away, clarifying. Perhaps faith doesn't do away with the hardships that are part and parcel of this life, but rather gives us the courage to stand amid them, not simply surviving, but actually flourishing in and through Jesus, the one who was tempted as we are, and thereby knows our struggles firsthand. This same Jesus now invites us to find both hope and courage in the God who named not only him, but all of us, beloved children, so that we also might discover who we are by recalling whose we are. Amen.